Hi there, my name is Susie Schuster.
And I'm Rich Eisen.
We're teaming up once again in the studio with our new podcast, Not Just Sports, with Susie Schuster and Rich Eisen on Podcast One Sports.
In case you're wondering what this show's about, sometimes we're not just sports.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
And that we actually like being in each other's
company. We do.
Enough to work together
I
and
think
have
so.
Three kids.
That's why we haven't spent enough time together that we're sitting here at Podcast One. So we're sportscasters and we're parents, so we'll talk sports and maybe parental guidance will be suggested every now and then.
I would hope so, because this is not an X-rated podcast.
No,
that's
correct.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It is exactly that. So we're just going to be hanging out, talking sports and other stuff.
And I will try to educate you on all things in the NFL, because,
thank
of course,
you.
Behind every great man is a greater woman.
That's correct.
There you go.
Join us every Wednesday exclusively on Podcast One.
Subscribe today if you know it's good for you on Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com or download it on the new Podcast One app.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Drew?
Yeah, we do.
What's going on, Drewski?
I was thinking, you know, when I sat down to do the Dr. Drew podcast the other day, I saw Lisa Bloom's note on one of your name, one of your buck slips.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you about her and your
Phil's
thoughts.
Phil's making noise back here.
He sure is. What is all that?
He just
makes
noise.
Always wagging his tail. That is a freaking gigantic head on that dog.
That's what I love, a big head on a dog. Yes.
And I think you were then, you must have been talking on the ACS about her thing with Weinstein and stuff, but did you see what happened with Kathy Griffin and Lisa Bloom?
I saw that
Kathy. Is he farting or is he whining?
No, I think he's whining. I don't know what it was. No, I saw a few. Well, I guess the answer is no.
It's kind
I remember
of a complicated
thing. Kathy Griffin did the cutoff.
Oh, yeah.
Did the head. That's Phil.
The Trump head cutoff thing.
He wants action.
There was a backlash. Lisa represented her.
Then she got up there and she started to do this thing where she started whimpering, saying, I want my career back. And then she started into this thing. I don't know why it's okay. It's like, it's not okay for white males to run me out of show business. Like, she did the white male thing.
Meaning that the Trump family was somehow the one, and Trump world was the one attacking her.
I don't know, but can I please tell all my friends who never stop crying racism, when you yell, oh, he's a white male, what would he know about? Like, when you say white, now you're bringing race into the equation. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
a person who calls everyone racist? If you're going to call everyone racist, you can't just go white something in front of stuff, because you're actually being sort of a hypocrite. Being a male is probably not even a good call. Just saying that guy or these people would be better. This notion that the
what makes you think that my preferred gender pronoun is guy?
Oh, you're right.
Or he.
I'm just saying the folks that never stop crying.
I want to be Zeh. Call me Zeh.
It's so. It was like I remember doing the man show a million years ago when we were trying to end women's suffrage.
I know. I love that.
And at some point, some sort of do-gooder, kind of chunky hippie chick like was talking to like an Asian woman, and she went, sweetie, these are white males. Like, why do they? And it's like, she did it right in front of us, but it's been going on for a while where it's like, they're white males. You don't have to listen to them. Like, it was this.
Well, in any event, Lisa, Kathy started going off on Twitter about Lisa, saying that she needs to, give her money back, or she's not going to pay her, essentially. And Lisa said, I don't know why you're attacking me, a woman, and advocates for women's rights.
A woman?
And,
oh.
Yeah, you know, a woman advocate for women's rights.
She's going like Don King. And, she's doing what Don King does to black people. It's great.
And that she it was Kathy that went off script, and if she'd followed the script, and their script was worth the $10,000 or whatever, and they're having a big feud. And I'm sympathetic to both of them.
I
like them both.
They're super sympathetic.
Looks like Anderson Cooper got involved in this somehow too.
Uh-oh.
She called him a spineless heiress.
Who did?
Kathy did? Griffin, it appears.
A spineless heiress.
Yeah.
Oh, because the Vanderbilt heir.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's not good.
I think heiress is poking at some other part.
I thought that's bad strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
The world's
undone. But it's interesting how everyone's eating themselves now.
Yes.
The snake is eating its own tail.
I've known Kathy for a million years.
Right.
And
that's why I was curious what you thought about all this.
I don't know anything about it, but I do know this. Mental injuries mm-hmm. are not so different than physical injuries. Mm-hmm. You can have physical injuries in high school and still go through your 30s and 40s not even really knowing that you got that bad shoulder or that bad knee. But as you get older
yeah.
and you start rounding your 50s, all of a sudden that shoulder starts kicking in. And you realize, oh, geez, I got to have surgery now. You know, this is bad. Now, you were fine in your 20s, in your 30s. Mental injuries, and Kathy's probably survived a few mental injuries. Somehow, oftentimes when you're young and kind of the belle of the ball, having a good time, being courted by lots of guys and so on and so forth, those can almost be like the physical injuries, which is, yeah, it happened, but I'm having a good time, Saturday night kind of thing. At some point, you turn 50 and you start heading towards 60 and that thing flares up. And then when it hits pretty hard, mm. like that shoulder, like you need surgery. It's not, all right, well, just we'll take it easy in the softball. No, it's like it kicks in. And my understanding, and I never got into all the nuts and bolts of her background, is that there was some mental injuries
growing up, Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, when you're 25 and everyone looks great in their underpants and everyone's strong and all that kind of stuff, all that stuff can just be sloughed off. You know, it's like you can go out and binge drink on a Saturday night and still get up Sunday and play ultimate frisbee when you're young. You know, there's lots of stuff can be just sort of brushed aside and too busy, too much of life, too much of everything. And then at a certain point, you start to settle in and you start to, these injuries sort of, they're never gone. They've never been rehabbed.
I always like Kathy a lot. I feel bad that she's suffering. I really do. And, you know, Lisa.
Well, the problem, can I say the problem with suffering, what a lot of people do, and there's a mental component to this. There's a mental.
That's what suffering is.
Yeah, sorry. Thing. No. How dare you? How dare you? You're about to eat your words, kind sir.
Okay.
When you're dealing with a substance, a pain pills or whatever you're on, and you're showing up and you're Anna Nicole Smith and you're dressed to the whatever and your tits are flopping out and you're slurring your words and stuff, people aren't sympathetic. They see you like walking down the red carpet. They see you got a new diamond ring, and they hold it in front of everyone like, oh, get it together. You know, like there's... We don't see the anguish.
Yeah, they see them as cartoon characters. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a like a substance version of this.
Yeah.
And then there's a mental anguish version of this.
Okay.
And
both are painful equally.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. When you're taking pictures with the president's head cut off and ketchup on it, and then you're holding press conferences where you're screaming about people holding you down and keeping you back or white males or whatever it is, we should be more mature as a society. We should go, this person's in pain.
Mm-hmm.
This person's suffering anguish.
That's what I saw.
Well, you're evolved.
Yeah.
The rest of society goes, fuck this bitch.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
we were laughing about Anna Nicole was a drug addict who we laughed about like a cartoon character.
Just kept telling
until
her, but you're watching this woman die in public here. This is it. I couldn't understand why people didn't get that.
Tune in any morning show on an FM station throughout the country and tell me how much sympathy they had for her and or Kathy Griffin.
Yeah. Now, I sent Kathy a note of support, honestly, just because I felt bad for her and she needed support. And
I'd like to live in a world where Kathy or whomever said, I'm in a lot of anguish here. I'm in a lot of pain. And I've acted out. And I understand that people have reacted to how I've acted out, but understand this is what I'm going through, and I'm going to try to deal with it. You know, and I think people could be much more sympathetic mm-hmm. or understanding or something. We live on the surface, you know, and we also do a lot of these rich Hollywood comedians. Come on.
Yeah.
Cry me a river. tell that to the men and women, the first responders, the people. It's like, look, it doesn't matter what your bracket is. You can still have problems and anguish suicide and drug abuse and everything else. But I would argue that when you are going through these, the problem with the going through the anguish is there's a lot of acting out, and the acting out is sort of ruffles the feathers and gets under the skin of a lot of Americans, and that's as far as we take it.
Does she say something? Did Anderson Cooper say something? And then, because I think it's kind of,
you know what I like about you, Drew. You bring up a subject I've never even heard of, and then you want to know. Now you're ready to dig deep. You want questions. You want answers to questions.
Well, no,
I don't know what happened, Anderson.
No, I was going towards Gary on that. But I wanted your opinion. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Look, we're not going to stop until everyone. Everyone eats everyone.
Well, that's what seems like we're into. It's again that to me reminds me of the French Revolution,
mm-hmm.
when you know the sans-culottes got the Jacobins and the Jacobins. It's just today who was in charge.
I didn't see Les Misérables, so I don't know what's
going
on.
That's just one piece of it. That was actually after the French Revolution.
Okay. But how little I know.
Yeah, but you know, it was it just before.
It reminds me a lot of what happened in Hamilton. Oh no! Wait a minute. That's all I got, Drew. All right. It'd be nice. And look, this is why more than ever, Drew, you need nice long walks, audio books, podcasts, classical music, time just throwing. One needs hanging out with the kids, doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, get back to the priorities of life.
Get behind the wheel of a race car every once in a while.
That's you.
Guess who doesn't think about Kathy Griffin when he's driving a race car?
I bet you don't think
about
much else.
Nobody. There's nothing you think about.
Other than thinking me a puss.
Thinking you a puss,
Other than thinking me a puss,
good sir. I said good day. Yes, go ahead. Methinks.
Does it surprise you to hear that I could think of nothing more unpleasant than sitting behind a race car wheel? Or I could probably think of some more unpleasant things. But it's one of the more I would actively avoid that. Does not sound like in close to anything fun for me. Other than me being a puss.
I get it.
Okay.
And I don't think of it as fun. I just think of it as something that sort of needs to be done. And I don't know why. I don't know what that is, but it's a sort of feeling of handling your exact moment.
Staying in the moment.
Staying in it, and really any little thing can have a big effect on what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it makes you fully present.
It makes you fully present, and then you also have to stay fully present for 100 miles.
Yeah.
Or 40 laps or wherever you're at, where you just have to – there's something about this sort of replicating what you did the lap before. And then there's also something about feeling stuff in your butt, like feeling like, oh, is it getting loose? Like, where is it? What are we doing? And when is this going to be – when are you going to cross – I guess what it is this, and it's not going to sound stupid, and then we'll take some calls.
Yeah.
There is a line, and the line is the maximum whatever. You have this line. You have to get to this line. Mm. Now, if you're too far off this line, then you're way off. You're way slow. You're not even near anything. You're not even competitive. You're not anything. If you go past that line at all, you're off. You're off the track.
Oh.
You're into trouble. You're in trouble. Yeah. So where is that line? Because you don't know where that line is. You have to kind of feel where that and hear and sense where that line is. And then you have to stay right up at that line. But if you go past it, it could be catastrophic.
Yeah.
And if you're safely under it, you're just getting passed.
Sounds like hell.
By everybody. I think it's kind of fun.
I get that.
All right. And not fun. It's rewarding.
Yeah.
32, Matt, Connecticut.
Hey, guys.
What's going on?
Not too much. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes.
All right, good. I just want to say I've been listening to you two since I was in middle school. I'd stay up way too late and listen to Loveline back in the day out here in Connecticut.
Thank you.
And also, Adam, I was I called in not too long ago, but I'm the garage door guy.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit of garage doors and bored out Bald Brian on the ACS show.
I love talking garage doors with guys from Connecticut. Don't mess with a garage door, Drew. Always call a pro. I know you're super handy around the house.
Oh,
and you
super
like to
handy.
Take
That's
care of everything yourself. But call a pro when it comes to garage doors.
Why is that?
Garage doors
springs will kill you.
Just because of the weird angles and stuff?
No, the spring will kill you,
oh my God.
Number one. But it's also, it's just its own thing. Yeah. There's certain things that are their own things, and you let other people do them.
That's everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this past summer, I got myself a nice case of Lyme disease.
Oh, boy.
Being out in Connecticut. You know, the state where Lyme was named after, apparently.
Yeah. Old Lyme.
That was?
Yeah.
Yep.
Lyme,
well,
Connecticut. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And Lyme disease, kind of a rich man, poor man disease.
Oh, not in the...
not over there.
None of the East.
Yeah.
I'm pretty middle class.
All right. How'd you get it? You got like a tick out in the wilderness?
Yeah.
I bought a house because I'm apparently a hero.
Winner.
And the old folks that owned the house before me did not do anything with the backyard, so the woods, the forest crept into the backyard. I ended up tilling the entire backyard, weed whacking, doing all that, and I think that's where I got it.
How does the Lyme disease manifest itself? It's kind of like Epstein-Barr or something, right?
Well, initial the classic Lyme is a rash, an expanding serpiginous rash called
what's serpiginous?
Meaning sort of a snake-like border. It's
like serpentine.
Erythema chronica migrans, it's called. Serpentine, exactly. And then it's followed by sometimes fevers and joint inflammation and then neurological symptoms. What happened to you?
Well, for me, I got a fever. I thought it was heat stroke. It was really hot. I was out in the sun all day for the past couple days, and all of a sudden I got home. I had heat stroke. Never saw a rash of any sort, and I'm one of four people that my brother knows that got Lyme disease, never saw any ring, no rash, no nothing.
Right.
I got a knot in the back of my head behind my ear.
They get a swollen
lymph
nodes.
I thought I slept weird. So after a week of having this knot behind my head, I started getting shooting pains across my skull.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I really went down to the doctor, and he said, oh, you have a sinus infection.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a Z-Pak, and it kind of cleared up the symptoms a little bit.
That's the stuff you inhale?
No, Zithromax. It's an antibiotic.
Like a five-day thing.
All right. So what's the question?
My question for you really is I've been through the doxycycline. I've been through all of it. I may still have Lyme for all I know. I still get a little headachy, a little bit. My wife and I are talking about having kids getting pregnant in the spring. And I want to know if I still have the Lyme disease, if that.
What about Drew?
All right, it's an infectious disease. It's a, you know, an illness, a spirochete that it's transmitted through tick bites, and it's gone when it's gone, and it can have some residual effects neurologically, like you're finding, and it sort of leaves behind a trail of misery. But it doesn't affect your genes, and so it may, I suppose, it could affect sperm count in some cases, but it does not affect what is passed on. So
he's
you're fine. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Todd, 35, from Phoenix. Todd.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, quick question for you. So about 4 years ago, I developed, rosacea, which is adult acne. And
No, it's not. I didn't know
that. It's not adult acne. Adult acne is adult acne, and rosacea is rosacea. Okay. But okay.
Yeah. I had the complexion of a 14-year-old boy.
All right, so it's adult acne. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So I went to about three different dermatologists and tried antibiotics, and all of that helped it temporarily. And it always came back. And I did a little research on my own and tried a whole food plant-based diet. I tried that about a year ago, cleared up my face, you know, I have no issues. But I just was curious more so for Drew on, you know, you hear a lot about this more in the media. Is it healthy for me to not eat meat and dairy?
Hey, Todd, give us your whole food plant-based diet. Let's give me breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, breakfast is oatmeal with fruit. Lunch is going to be a sweet potato with black beans, guacamole, and some salsa. And then for dinner, it'd be, you know, like rice and grains with vegetables and probably another sweet potato.
Mm-hmm. Not a yam, although I hear yams are better than sweet potatoes for some reason.
Yeah, I mix it up. Okay. I mix it up. And there's white sweet potatoes that I have.
All right. I'll give my opinion, and then Drew's going to give his opinion. All right?
Go ahead.
First off, any regimen means you're on a regimen.
Yeah.
And that's good. You know what I mean? Even if it's just this, you're going, yeah, but you're watching it. You know,
that's
it's not catch as catch can, fast and lose.
That's true.
Most people probably don't realize how much crap they ate or how much
That's a great point.
How much? Ooh.
So, yeah. No, so just being structured with your diet and paying attention
to it. Yeah, they go, is this kind of diet a better diet than that kind of diet? It's like you being on something versus,
nothing.
Hey, who's going on a fast food run? Count me in.
Yeah.
And just sort of fast and loose with your diet. That could change depending on which way the wind blows.
Totally
is a big
that.
Deal.
Yep.
So
especially
that,
from the standpoint of calorie and nutrient. Yeah.
In a general, just here's my process.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this. I'm focused on that.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to what you're eating, of course, Vinny Tortorich will tell you just how important the fats are and the animal proteins. On the other hand, it seems like you can get a lot of this stuff from different places. I'm not going to worry about you as much as there's so many people that are just living off of Mountain Dew and Jack in the Box.
Although I have seen some real significant medical problems with people not flushing out their diet properly.
I certainly don't see what the problem is with a couple of eggs and a piece of fish
and
added to the mix.
And maybe some iron supplements.
Yeah, like what I don't get what that is. I mean, why
not add the fish and the eggs? Yeah, I don't
either. Why go?
Because there's tremendous, tremendous benefit from both those sources.
Right. So, Todd?
Yeah, and thank you for the feedback. And my other question would be, I guess, for Drew, should I be concerned that every time I cheat on a weekend and have a pizza or a steak that I wake up 2 days later with acne? Is that another message
to
my
me,
body that something else is wrong?
No. You have acne because you grow a certain bacteria in the pores in your skin. It's Propionibacterium acnes. Some people have acne from Comedo, some people from bacteria, some people from oil production, or some combination of these three. And in your case, pretty clearly what you eat affects the bacterial flora on your skin. And you've discovered that, and good. That in your case, it seems to have some benefit. In terms of how, you know, as though it's, your skin is an expression of some other something in your body, forget that.
I had a three-egg omelet this morning. Is that going to affect Todd?
No. Nothing's going to affect Todd. It's just he'll get his acne. Will
Drew,
come back.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
When I eat red meat, initially, I get a high. You know, I'm riding a high. And then I bottom out. I have what I call a red meat bottom out. Like I feel myself sluggish and bottoming out. And the same thing, if I eat chocolate, I get a high. I'm bouncing off the walls. And then I start to bottom out. The sugar rush leaves. I start to bottom out. And then a butterfly farts. And I get all out of sorts. You understand? You see what I mean? The butterfly will fart and knock me over because I'm such a fucking pussy.
Let me
understand?
Let me straighten your ass right
now. Yeah, like I bottom out. Red meat, it's like I'm riding high. But all of a sudden, oh boy, here it comes. I'm bottoming out. Who are these? They talk about red meat. I wouldn't talk about heroin that way.
No.
I'd be like, I felt kind of high and then I threw up, so I went to bed. They literally can talk about red meat like it's more...
Yeah, more than OxyContin.
Really good for me?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stamps.com. That's
there
your OxyContin.
You go. I'm right.
And that's
a
straighten your ass out. Use it here for everything. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, of any class of mail, right at your computer, at your own printer. Right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com with the special four-week trial. Postage plus digital scale, no long-term commitment. Again, they send you that digital scale so you can automatically calculate the postage for any class of mail, any package, plug it into your computer, weigh it, determine it, print it, you're done. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do with Stamps. Plus, there's added benefits you cannot do any other way. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that is Stamps.com. Enter ADS. Why would you go to the post office when you've got Stamps? And that digital scale goes up to like 80 pounds or something, doesn't it?
Didn't you? Yeah, 80 pounds.
Yeah, and so anything you can do, look, you can do with Stamps. And you don't have to leave the house. Just stick it in your mailbox or give it to the post person. Do whatever you got to do. Stamps.com, top of the homepage, ADS. Never go to the post office again with Stamps.com.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
Tell me why I have such a reaction. Crazy reaction to this. And also, you tell me why there's so many of these people in the world. And I've had conversations with people. And it's weird. Like, after somebody tells you something like once, like, hey, I don't like this. I don't want to hear about it again. Like, like if somebody said, you know, George Takei. Don't ever. Now, George Takei only talks about Japanese American internment camps 70% of the time, but it's not 100% of the time. It's about
30% of the time he talks about what it was like to be gay in the 70s.
Okay, so that's
and
that's
penis.
That's
he talks about penis right, a lot of right. time. Actually, that's 100%.
I made the mistake once of saying
to George,
yes,
okay,
of saying Japanese internment camps, and he jumped on me and said Japanese American, American. Yeah, those were Americans. Those are Americans.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
he's right.
He's right.
Yeah.
He's obnoxious, but he's right.
Yeah.
Guess who's never says Japanese internment camps at George Takei without saying Japanese American internment camps?
You.
That's right. Mm. You want to know why?
Because he's right. So you need to hear it once and that's it.
It's partially that he's right.
Yeah.
It's also partially who cares.
Yeah.
But it's also I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
I don't want to
you heard
get
it once,
that reaction.
That's enough.
I heard it once.
Yeah.
I don't want the reaction. I don't want him to correct me again.
Right.
I don't want to get into it. I have people that I've had this conversation with all the time where they go, it happened to me today. It's like, the closet guys, they got the island for the closet, but they got the wrong material for the top. Okay, that's fine. They'll have to go back to the shop and fix it. Then you go in, and then the closet guy goes, hey, we got the closet, but we got the wrong material for the top. And I go, all right, I'll live with it, and then you can swap it out with the right material. And I go, yeah, okay. And then I come out again, and then my guy goes, yeah, they screwed up the closet. And I go, yeah, I know. Yeah, they should have. Now they have to go. And I go, shut up.
Yeah.
And they go, what? And I go, I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
I'm unhappy.
No, I don't
How much
like...
more unhappy?
No,
yes, I'm frustrated.
You.
Thank you. Thank you for attempting. I was at a 6.
Yeah.
Thank you for trying to get me to a 10. Now stop it.
But
I don't like when people do that.
To be fair, I don't even have to be frustrated or negative. I just don't like repetition, too. It bothers me. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I get repetition and negative repetition,
yeah.
And I have to – and then there's also the weird kind of no duh.
Yeah, yeah.
Like of
know.
Course. Like, yeah. You go, you go, yeah, I'm selling that Bob Sharp replica car. And they go, you know, that's a replica. And you go, yeah, I know. That's why I called it a Bob Sharp replica car. You know, he didn't, that's not an original car. And you go, yes, I know. That's why I'm calling it that. And that's why I'm saying it. And that's why it's not, that's why it's 200 grand cheaper than it would be if it was an actual Bob Sharp race car from the air. Yeah, you know, he didn't race that back in there. It's like, yeah, I know. First off, I know. And then secondly, what's it with you with the laps? And both these people, I've said on numbers of cases, I'm not beating around the bush. I've said, hey, knock it off.
Yeah.
I heard what you said. Stop doing this. Stop going down that road. Why? What is that thing? What is that thing where you stand outside the car and it's got the dent in the quarter pound? And you go, geez, what happened here? And you go, I don't know. I hit a car in the parking lot. Wow. That ain't cheap.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get it fixed. Yeah, but even with the deductible, like who is that and why? I don't get it. No one wants to be around you, and it does not serve you. All people want to do is get away from it.
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know.
And
it's distressing.
I'm like insanely sensitive about it. Like the third time Rob is going, hey, they really messed up. I go, I heard you. Now that's enough. And the reason I'm reacting this way is I don't like what you're doing. You think I missed something?
Right. I was going to say, did he have something he needed to do?
No. That's sort of he had to go three laps how these guys screwed up the closet.
Yeah, yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go out on a happy note. Wait, real quick. Let's talk to Rich, 48 Tacoma. Rich?
Hey, Ace Man, Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
I just had a recommendation for you. There's a songwriter I've been wanting to tell you about for a long time. He's apparently a huge boxing fan. He's got no less than four songs either titled about or actually about four different boxers: Salvador Sanchez, Livingstone Bramble, Tavoris Cloud, and Doku Kim.
Doku Kim died in the ring.
Yeah. And the singer's name is Mark Kozelek. His band name is Sun Kil Moon.
Mm-hmm.
And
we'll listen to it now.
Yeah, and in this song,
yeah,
there's the coolest nickname for a boxer I've ever heard. At the end of the,
I don't think we're gonna get through the whole song.
Yeah. So what's the name for the what's the nickname for the boxer?
Well, two of them actually calls him the Sweet Warrior or the Pure Magic Matador.
I like that. Now,
yeah, it really.
I was thinking about. Do you remember the first joke ever told on the radio?
No. How do you remember that?
I remember very clearly the first joke I ever told on the radio because I was calling in to Kevin and Bean as Jimmy's boxing instructor. And I remember it had to be my first joke I ever said on the radio because I was never on the radio before calling in as Jimmy's boxing instructor. And I remember wanting to tell a joke about Jimmy and about Jimmy's training and ability and stuff like that in the first phone in when they're doing a progress report.
Yeah.
First joke, we were looking for a good nickname for Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
And we thought maybe he's from Brooklyn. So maybe it's something like the Brooklyn Assassin.
Uh-huh.
And then we also thought maybe he's Italian. So like maybe the Italian Tornado. But after seeing him spar a little bit, we just settled on Jim. It's a good joke, right?
Yes.
All right. Hey, this Sunday, Oxnard, Levity Live with our guest Doug Benson will be up there. And then Tuesday, November 21st, Pasadena Ice House. Come say hi. Go to amcroll.com for all the stuff you need. Me and Prager are going to be in Brooklyn on November 29th. But you find out whatever you want at amcroll.com. Drewski?
Go to drew.com, set up our contact list. We'll send you emails and you can see all of our podcasts there.
So, until next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.